Amen. Well, let's continue to worship Father, Son, and Holy Spirit by giving our attention to His Word as it comes to us in the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, which is found on page 118 of the Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along there. As we continue in our series in the book of Numbers here on Sunday evenings, Numbers chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, this is the word of God. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two silver trumpets. Of hammered work you shall make them, and you shall use them for summoning the congregation and for breaking camp. And when both are blown, all the congregation shall gather themselves to you at the entrance of the tent of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the chiefs, the head of the tribes of Israel, shall gather themselves to you. When you blow an alarm, the camps that are on the east side shall set out. And when you blow an alarm the second time, the camps that are on the south side shall set out. An alarm is to be blown whenever they are to set out. But when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow a long blast, but you shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. The trumpets shall be to you for a perpetual statute throughout your generations. And when you go to war in your land against the adversary who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. On the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feasts, and at the beginnings of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder of you before your God. I am the Lord your God." Let's look to the Lord once again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do bow before you, and we confess by the mercies and the ministry of your Holy Spirit, Jesus is Lord. And so we pray, Lord Christ, that you would exercise your lordship over us this night, that you would reign in a powerful way through the preaching of your word, and that you would reign through our heart, in our hearts this night, that you would sound the trumpet of your word, not in a muffled way, but in a clear way that is clearly communicated and easy to understand, and by the power of your Holy Spirit applied to our lives. So take our minds and think through them, our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire with your love. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, in our series in Numbers titled "The Word in the Wilderness," we've been looking at the ways in which our Lord continued to communicate with his people as they made their way through the wilderness towards the promised land. God had graciously and miraculously delivered them out of Egypt, but his grace was such that he would not abandon them after that deliverance. His is a keeping grace, a preserving grace, a persevering grace. And so although they were fickle as a people towards him, he was steadfast in his commitment to them. And he was determined to guide his people to the land he had promised to give them. So he communicated his grace, his discipline, his love, and his direction for his people in various ways. The words spoken through Moses, the priestly activity at the tabernacle administered by Aaron and his sons, and all the related ceremonial laws. He communicated his favor, as we saw a few weeks ago, through the Aaronic blessing. He communicated his presence, as we saw most recently, through the cloud of glory by day and the pillar of fire by night. It's God's way of saying, I'm with you, I'm committed to you, I'm not going to abandon you. And as we read a few moments ago, another way he communicated with his people, and indeed a way that they communicated with him, was through the sounding of two silver trumpets. I want us to consider the sounding of those trumpets back then, and in the second place, how it applies to us today as 21st century Christians. So first, the sounding of the trumpets, as we read just a moment ago, the sounding of the trumpets in the context of Old Testament Israel. According to Josephus in his Jewish Antiquities, these trumpets were just over a foot in length and flared. In other words, each one was a foot-long tube of silver with a bell-shaped opening at the end. Pretty standard, I guess you would say, for a trumpet. As we saw in our reading, the sounding of these trumpets, though, had four purposes. Let's briefly consider them together. The four purposes of the sounding of these trumpets. First, they were used to assemble the congregation and its leaders. When both of them were blown, the whole congregation was to gather together. If only one was blown, then just the leaders were to assemble together. In both these cases, a long blast was given. When the people heard that long blast, they knew it was time to gather at the tabernacle. It was a call to worship. It was a holy convocation, a calling to the people to leave their own tents, leave their own dwelling places, to leave what they were ordinarily doing and come together for the extraordinary purpose of worshiping the Lord together, their highest privilege, the centerpiece of their life together as the covenant community, worship, the worship of the living God. So, in the first place, those trumpets were used to call a holy convocation, to assemble the people together at the tabernacle. Second, the trumpets were used to let people know when it was time to break camp and move to a new location. The trumpets enabled the Levites to lead the people in an organized fashion. Each alarm, which consisted of staccato blasts, signaled when each tribe was to head out. If you've ever been to a large banquet, I was thinking back on, you know, like the sports banquets I went to growing up, or the academic banquets, or various banquets, or even at like big Christian camps or something like that. Have you ever been to a banquet? Have you ever been in a large cafeteria at a camp or something like that? There may be someone like an MC or someone who lets each section know when they can go to the buffet line. Right, when they can go through the lines. This table can go, and then when they get through, and then now this table can go. And of course, that's to keep people from trampling on each other as they make their way to the cafeteria line to get all that food. Or anytime you fly, you're accustomed to this kind of a thing. You know, the first class folks, they get to board the plane first, and then the next section is all the way down to the rest of us, the hoi polloi, you know. Then we finally get to get on the plane. And that's in order to get folks on the plane, at least hypothetically, in an organized, orderly fashion, at least, again, to keep them from trampling each other. We mustn't forget that Moses and Aaron and his sons were trying to lead how many people through the wilderness? Over 2 million people through. That's a lot of people boarding the plane, right? 2 million people through the wilderness. So these trumpets were very important as they tried to move those people as a nation from one encampment to another in an orderly, somewhat civilized way. A third instance when the trumpets were blown was when Israel went to battle with its enemies. This, of course, alerted the men of fighting age and the leaders of the clans to prepare and come forth for battle, perhaps even relaying certain maneuvers that were to be made, much like a bugle has historically been used for military signals. But the sounding of the silver trumpets had an even higher purpose in the context of battle. No doubt you caught it when we were reading the passage. Look again at verse 9 of chapter 10 and what Moses said, what the Lord said to Moses there. "And when you go to war in your land against the adversary who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, that you may be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies." In other words, these trumpets weren't only used to communicate messages from God to his people and from the leadership to the rest of the people. They were also used to communicate messages from the people to their God. In the context of war, they were used as a kind of prayer to ask for the Lord's favor, his deliverance, his salvation, his victory over his enemies and theirs. When the Lord heard the trumpets, he remembered his people. He remembered his covenant. He remembered his promises. And he acted on Israel's behalf and gave them the victory over their enemies. And in the fourth place, the trumpets were used in the context of joyful festivals and other days of worship and celebration. We sang of that, didn't we, from the 81st Psalm, the first portion of which said, verse 3 in Psalm 81 says, "At each new moon the trumpet blow for solemn festal days." That was in accordance with what God revealed here to his people through Moses in Numbers chapter 10. The trumpets were to be sounded in connection with the sacrifices and the feasts to remind God of his covenant with Israel so that he would accept their praises and bestow on them his favor. So the trumpets, used by God to communicate his will to his people, used by the leadership to communicate direction to the people, and used by the people to communicate their desires to their God in the midst of battle and in the context of worship. So those were the four ways that the trumpets were used in ancient Israel as the people of God made their way through the wilderness towards the promised land. But what do these trumpets have to do with us today? As we seek to make our way to the promised land and be a witness to the nations in the process. Well, let's again mention four ways. First, just as the trumpets were used as calls to worship in Old Testament Israel, so today God continues to call us to worship corporately for our good and his glory. Thus we are told in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of Christ's return, approaching." Thus, we have at the beginning of every worship service a call to worship. Our call to worship this evening is a wonderful example of a clarion call to worship. Again, from Psalm 29, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. In other words, those words are providing us a rationale for worshiping this God. Therefore, let us ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Let us worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. An explicit call to worship. This is the equivalent of sounding the trumpets today, to gather the congregation for worship. The call to worship reminds us of who we are, of whose we are, and who is the one who is worthy of our utmost attention, affection, and adoration. Every call to worship is a call to repent of our pride, our self-focused lives, our idolatry, our selfishness, and a call to return to the Lord and to His people in humility, thanksgiving, and praise. So the trumpets of the Old Testament have, as it were, been replaced in the New Testament church through our calls to corporate worship. Second, just as the trumpets were sounded to command the people to break camp and move out, so the gospel of Jesus Christ is sounded today to call us to break with sin, turn from judgment, and draw near to Jesus Christ in faith. I remember when I first heard the gospel trumpet. Maybe you remember when you first heard the gospel trumpet sounding in your ears. For me, I was in a historically black church, still today, a predominantly black church in Atlanta, Georgia. And the preacher was preaching on Enoch. You remember Enoch? What was said of Enoch? Enoch walked with God. He said Enoch was a man who didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk. But he said, some of you here today, you just talk the talk. You don't know what it means to walk the walk. You talk about God, but you've never really talked to God, and you're not walking with God. And I thought, who tipped this guy off? Who told him that a Furman religion major was here? Who told him that a student of theology was here who talked an awful lot about God and pontificated an awful lot about God, but really did not know God, did not have a personal saving relationship with God through His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us? That's when the trumpet of the gospel first sounded in my ear. The trumpet of the gospel is the Lord's means to alarm us, to wake us up to our sinful condition and our need of a Savior, that we might break camp, that we might break with sin, that we might break from the condition of sin and misery that we are in, that we might flee to Christ and trust in Him alone for salvation. Maybe tonight's the night when you're first hearing that trumpet of the gospel. May it be so if you've never heard it, and may you flee to Jesus Christ and trust in Him this night as your Savior and your Lord. In the third place, just as the Israelites blew the trumpets in battle so that the Lord would remember them and rescue them from their enemies, so we can blow the trumpet of prayer in the midst of our battles. It's a mighty weapon, you know, the weapon of prayer. We can sound the trumpet of prayer in any battle no battle is too small, no battle is too great from which to sound the trumpet of prayer. And just as the Lord would remember his people, look down upon his people with favor and rescue them from their foes and grant them victory over their enemies, so the Lord will for you as you call upon him with the trumpet of prayer. We can pray according to Psalm 106 and verse 4, remember me, O Lord, with your favor. Come near and rescue me. We can sound that trumpet, and he will come, and he will grant us deliverance. And fourth, just as the trumpets were used in connection with the times of gladness in Israel to remind their God of his covenant with them, so Christ himself is forever the reminder before the throne of God of his covenant love for us. As Charles Wesley put it, the bleeding sacrifice in my behalf appears. Before the throne my surety stands, my name is written on his hands. 5 bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh, forgive, they cry, nor let that ransomed sinner die. So we thank God. We thank God for what those trumpets pointed to for us. The call to corporate worship. The gospel of salvation. Prayer in the midst of our battles, and Christ himself, who is our Savior and who ever lives to intercede for all who come to God through him. And we give thanks that through faith in him, when the trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend, even so, it will be well with our souls. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, every bit of it. We thank you for how we're reminded this night that all Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that we might be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. We thank you for how all of the types and the shadows and the episodes and the commandments and the stipulations and all of the Old Testament, every bit of it, points to the person and work of your Son and how we are able to live as his disciples even today. We thank you for the gift of corporate worship. We thank you for the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. We thank you for the trumpet of prayer in the midst of our battles, and we thank you for the trumpet of Christ himself, who is our salvation. Grant us to go from this place encouraged and equipped to live as your ambassadors and to be known as your disciples by our love for one another. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.